This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Needs No Introduction on the Rabble Podcast Network. Fresh ideas from speakers of note. Don Tapscott is the author of Wikinomics, a book on the way online collaboration is shaping the economy and society. He's one of the leading authorities on business strategy with an emphasis on business technology and how it changes the government, society, and organizations. At the end of February, he spoke after the presentation of Us Now, a UK film about how the internet inspires community participation and collaboration. Here's his address, as recorded by Volunteer Toronto and Taking It Global.
Thank you. First thing I'll say is it's appropriate that Volunteer Toronto would host this event because the film is essentially saying that we're moving into a new period in history where people can participate in the economy, in society, and in political life in ways that were previously unimaginable. I did participate in the film, but I don't want to take too much credit for it. I was actually a reluctant recruit because the producers called me up and they said, we want to interview you for this film, and I always check out when that happens to see if it's a real movie and it has distribution channels and, you know, PBS or BBC is going to play it. And they said no, but they kept after me, and they actually tracked me down in London, and they said, we'll come to you. It'll just take an hour. And I was giving a lecture right near the Thames River, and they found a boat right across from where my lecture was. And I don't know if you can tell from the interviews, but I was actually sitting in the captain's cabin in this boat, sitting in the Thames River. And that's how this, I sat there for an hour, and that's my total involvement in this film. Having said that, I think it is a very thoughtful movie, and I get a feeling from your reaction you might share that view. So let me just say a couple of things about what's going on here that I didn't get to say in the movie, and then let's throw open and have a conversation. I think we are in the early days of a fundamental change in how we orchestrate capability in society to do things, to create goods and services, to govern ourselves, to have social development, justice, and so on. And that this is coming about because of four things. The first, obviously, is the new web. And the so-called web 2.0 ain't your daddy's internet. The old web was this limited platform for the presentation of content. And that's why during the dot-com period, everybody talked about websites and eyeballs and stickiness and page views and so on. That's what the web was. Well, now the new web is based on this thing called XML, and that's a platform for computation. The internet is becoming a giant mobile computer, and that means that every time you go on it and you tag a picture of your puppy that you put onto Flickr, you're programming this global computer. And that means that we now have a global platform whereby we can communicate and collaborate, self-organize, build communities, and do things. The second big change is, it's kind of highlighted here in this massive picture of my new book, there's a new generation of young people that are the first to grow up digital. And I'm a digital immigrant. My kids are digital natives. They've grown up bathed in bits, and their brains are actually different than mine. Because the baby boomers, my generation, grew up watching 24 hours a week of TV. And how you spend your time actually determines what your brain is like. And these kids are growing up interacting and collaborating and looking for stuff and authenticating and composing their thoughts and searching for things and having to remember stuff, and even with video games developing strategies. This is changing the way a whole generation thinks. And we have the first global generation now that are natural collaborators. And there are a whole bunch of other characteristics that come along with this generation that are antithetical to a lot of our institutions and society today. The third big change is the rise of self-organization. And I'll just, I'll tell you a funny story about it. It was a couple of years ago, and at Christmas, and I gave my son Alex, who was sitting here. I don't know if he's left. Is he left? I don't know if he's gone. He's heard his old man talk about this stuff too much, as you'll see from the story. But I gave him an advanced copy of this book I've written called Wiccanomics. And he said, thanks, Daddy. When I started reading the book, he came back a couple hours later and he said, hey, Dad, this is a good book. Sort of like he was surprised or something. And he said, I think I'll create a Facebook community. I said, can I watch? 15 minutes later, he's created the Wiccanomics community on Facebook. Another 15 minutes later, he's got 6 members. By the time I'm eating turkey on Christmas night, he's got 130 members in 7 countries, 7 regional coordinators, a president himself, a secretary, and chief information officer for the community. He's put out a PDF of the first 2 chapters of the book. I got kids writing back in saying, Mr. Tapscott, we found errors in your book. And the community is placing demands on me. One kid writes and says, how will Mr. Tapscott be contributing exactly to our community? What is this? 2 words, self-organization. Self-organization has been around throughout human history. Language was a function of self-organization. There was no central committee in the English language that said this will be called paper. It just kind of happened. Science was a function of self-organization. So was government. But what used to take place over millennia or centuries can now happen over weeks or on a single Christmas day. I never could have created a community of 130 people in 7 countries when I was 20, regardless of what I did. Alex did it on a single day. So that sets us up for this fourth thing, which is a profound change in the deep structure and architecture of our institutions of wealth creation. The corporation is going through a very profound change right now. And the reason is, as I alluded to in the movie, collaboration costs out there in an open market are dropping so much that peers can now come together and create value. So if you can create an encyclopedia with 1 million people and it's 10 times bigger than Britannica, and it's in 90 languages, but according to the big study that's been done, the quality is just as good as the one written by the Pulitzer and Nobel Prize winners. What else could you create? Well, could you create a bank, Zopa.com? Could you create an operating system? The Linux operating system is the dominant operating system in the world for medium and large computers. Nobody owns it. It's created by a bunch of digital Rotarians. And Linux has some big customers like China. Could you create a football team? Could you create a government? So people can now participate in the economy in ways that are unthinkable. You can not only watch the evening news, you can go on to Current TV, create a video clip, and that becomes the evening news. It won the Emmy for the best news show. Half of all of their content is user-generated. You can not only read an encyclopedia, you can write one. You can not only use software, you can collaborate with people all around the world to create software. You can respond to a crisis. In Katrina, the authorities were hopeless, so people self-organized. They go into Google Maps. A woman in second floor of house in wheelchair, water 8 feet and rising, 2:22 p.m. Lives were saved. You're some poor kid, you live in Mumbai. You can go to MIT, because they've opened up their courseware on the web. All you need is to somehow get access to a computer. And thousands of poor people in India do that. Now, they won't get a degree, but maybe they'll become a kick-ass programmer, and they can go on to topcoder.com. It has 200,000 people, and the Bank of Montreal end up hiring them to develop some little routine in their data center. So people can now participate in ways that are unthinkable. And that gets into the main message of the movie. What does this mean for government? You know, we've had this traditional model of government that was described, where governments do things for people. And we have a model of democracy that is a broadcast model. It's a one-way model, and we get to participate every 4 years. Now, we're not talking about getting rid of representative democracy. Remember Ross Perot and the electronic town hall? You get to vote every night on the evening news. That's a bad idea. A democracy is a lot more than that. Majority rule, one of the things about it is protecting the rights of minorities. But imagine if we could start to use the new web to engage people in profound new ways. I'll just give you one example. It's one I'm working with some government leaders now to make this happen in various parts of the world. I call it a digital brainstorm. Imagine if the premier, who, as I understand, did try and be here tonight, and we'll do it on the screening hopefully where it can be here, but the premier of Ontario were to say, a month from today, we're going to have a three-day conversation in Ontario. And the topic that I've chosen is, whatever, global warming, how to fight climate change, how can we in Ontario reduce carbon emissions, or how about the Ontario economy, or how about, you know, you pick a topic. And over these 3 days, we're going to have a real conversation. I'm going to participate in the discussion. Because of the internet now, we have these cool collaborative filter things and rating systems and so on, where the best ideas will come to the fore. And you can self-organize any way you want to participate in this discussion. So you get an architects group that would look at retrofitting old buildings. And you'd get all the schools in the province would be involved. It would be part of their studies over a three-day period to participate in this new experiment in democracy. And at the end, the premier would decide. This is not about direct rule. It's about having a conversation. But the most important things that would happen would not be that he gets some cool ideas, although that would happen for sure. It's that people would become engaged. Initiatives would be catalyzed. There would be great, people would learn from each other. They would become mobilized. As an aside, there'd be a lot more volunteers, for those of you who care about that. And we take a little baby step towards a new model of democracy that's appropriate for a new generation, a new medium of human communications, and a new age. I think we're going to have to do this. Because arguably, when you look at the world, it's kind of a mess. I was at Davos, the World Economic Forum, a couple of weeks ago. The global financial system has collapsed. The global economy, we're in the early days of what they call the Great Recession. Nobody really knows how to get out of it. We've got 30 years to reindustrialize the planet, maybe. It's not about buying a Prius or something, although that could be a good idea. There are huge divides in the world. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. Politically, there's huge strife and conflict. And how are we going to move forward? Well, we're going to need more than a bunch of elected leaders to fix this problem. We're going to need the planet mobilized the first time ever in human history while we're all basically on the same side trying to bring about some big change. So I think this is a time of great peril, but it's also a time of great opportunity. So that's enough. Why don't we have a conversation?
Okay, guys, we're going to do this donkey style, so if you have any questions, we'll have one mic up there. Is Nick around here?
Nick,
can you catch this? Okay, why don't we start with a question from the ground floor. Anybody have a question down here? Oh, over here.
I was going to say, why don't you guys Twitter your questions in as well, and we can address them. For those of you who don't know what Twitter is, it's a really, really great application. It is free to use. Essentially, you have 160 characters to comment about. You have 140 characters. I think I was looking in Chinese or something. You have 140 characters to comment about what are you doing right now. I know you guys are all sitting here. I know what you're doing right now. So if you are on Twitter, please Twitter us some questions. If you're not on Twitter, Twitter, go to www.twitter.com and find out about it. It's a great way of finding out what's happening in your community by using what we call like hashtags. It's kind of like a keyword that you can put in. Tonight's hashtag is
us now.
So you put the pound sign, us now, into Twitter, and that'll allow us to search for things. So we have first question.
Mirror. That was a very inspirational, very thought-provoking film. I just wanted to open this up. I guess this is a conversation. So my question is, with the regulation of the internet from the big corporations, especially in Canada right now, that's a really big issue, how self-organization can play into that and how powerful it can be in combating that. So if anybody has any insights on it.
Is that self-organization vis-a-vis regulation? Is that the issue?
Oh, well, right now there's, I guess, a lot of emails going around on Facebook about how the three big players who are trying to control the internet, Rogers, who, I don't know if anybody in here has a little more information than I do on that. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. Obama was dead set against the regulation of the internet in terms of...
The issue here is it's called net neutrality.
Thank you, because I'm not that familiar with the topic. Okay. Yeah.
And it's a hot topic for sure, but Obama's got a clear position on it, so I think it's fairly clear which way it's going to go, because he is becoming a rather influential person. and the issue is basically, should the internet continue the way that it is, where anyone can have unfettered access to the web, and you don't have different tiers of payment depending on what kind of capability you get and what kind of bandwidth you get? Or should the web become a whole bunch of walled gardens or multi-tiered capabilities that if you got lots of money you can do certain things, and if you don't have lots of money you can't do? And I'm sort of of the view that this is a new medium of human communications, and it's sort of a basic right. And we need to organize ourselves in society to make sure that everyone can become have access. And if anything, rather than making access more differentiated, we have an opposite problem, which is a digital divide. That there's a danger we'll create a world of haves and have-nots, and knowers and no-nots, and people who can communicate with the rest of the world, and those who can't. I mean, you know, a third of the kids in the world have never used a telephone, let alone the internet. So if we do this, we'll create some wounds in society that are very hard to heal. It's called creating a structured underclass. And what I've been calling for is the creation of a digital Marshall Plan. Obama and his campaign said we want to roll out broadband all across America. You know something? The United States can't succeed in a world that's failing. And he should think about partnering with other countries all around the world to ensure that every kid on planet Earth who's 4 years old has access to the web.
Tom, we've got a question on the floor here. And there's actually a lineup for the next movie outside. It's a little bit colder tonight, so we have about 5 minutes left. So here's the next question.
Thank you. Guys, one thing to participate in conversations with the government and give them ideas and stuff. My question is, why would they listen if, you know, they know they're in for 3 or 4 or 5 years? And do you have any examples in Canada or in the U.S. where local or provincial state governments are listening and are enacting ideas from people like us?
Well, the killer application, as they say here, is you get reelected. You engage the population, you do better things, you have more learning, you develop relationships and support with the population. But yeah, there are all kinds of examples. We're doing a big program, it's called Government 2.0, it's funded by governments from around the world. Example, in Utah, a legislator had this piece of legislation that the population was against, was gonna fail in the legislative assembly there, And so he created a wiki, had a big public discussion about it online. People got involved, they changed some stuff, and the population changed their attitude, and the thing ended up passing. So that's just one little example of how good things can happen for politicians who, as someone in the movie said, woken up. And there's this here, the politicians, well, no, we have to control the message. Hello, you don't control the message anymore. You know, the way to improve your political outcomes is going to be to let go, to understand that you don't have power over people, you achieve power through people. And you know, that's a big change.
Okay, Nick, do you have a question up there? Okay, there's the gentleman down here. We've got two more questions, although we're running out of time, so we're encouraging you to tweet. And there are, we can hang around out in the lobby as well. There's a gentleman. Was that you?
Sure, it's a great talk. I'm curious, are we getting better? Are we getting better, or are we dumbing down? I mean, look at York University. Some of them are about to lose their year, etc. For 3 months they're on strike. So is that, you know, is that self-organizing? Is that people dumbing down and not protesting? I mean, the unions are out there protesting more than the students who are net. You know, that
well, it's a fair enough question. And my view is that, look, this thing, this new communications medium, is going to be a reflection of everything that's good and bad in society. And the difference is that unlike the old media that was one way and was controlled by powerful people, this kind of cherishes this awesome neutrality, and it will be what we want it to be. And if we want it to help us find a cure for AIDS, or if we want to, as some people, evil people are doing, use it to organize unspeakable acts, that's the way it'll be. My only hope is that there are more good people than bad people, and more smart people than dumb people, and that our collective wisdom will be brought to the table.
Okay, I think
that was Don Tapscott speaking to the crowd at the Bloor Cinema for a screening of Us Now, a UK film on community and the internet. Thanks for listening, and please tune in again to Needs No Introduction, fresh ideas from speakers of note.